to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. In the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken data, bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Pearl of Palacio, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny hasn't gone to bed yet. Everybody else has, so she's pulled out a big old hefty bowl, and you know she's rocking it hard with that black cherry push in New York City. The Big Apple. People dust the plastic bags, the ready travel, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends come around, flat to flat, party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, it's tied and tattered, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do, shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell, Mafia's running it, and I'm watching the Yankees again, heading into the bottom of the eighth in Hot Town against the Braves, up 5-3. And nobody on, nobody out yet. Green has come into the game for the Yankees. They're going for 11 in a row, and they have been unbelievable in this winning streak. It's their longest winning streak in forever. I mean, I think they're if they win tonight, it's the longest one even since 85 or something like that. Bottom line is they were down 2-0. And then Stanton homered in the second, 419 on a laser shot, line drive, home run to the first row. They made it 2-1. They were down. Then Sanchez singled to right center in the fourth, and Judge scored tying the game. In the fifth, LeMahieu hits a two-run homer to left. It was 4-2 Yankees. And then Riley singled to center, and Albie scored, made it 4-3, bottom five in the seventh. Ronald Odor with a massive second-tier shot home run to right field, 413 feet, landed up in like a bar area on the second deck, and it was 5-3 Yankees. I got to give him credit. I didn't think I'd see it. Bottom line is Haney outpitched Charlie Morton. Morton went five innings, gave up four earned runs, struck out nine, but, you know, your boy came in for the Yankees, and Haney, who I constantly bash that he sucks, he went four innings, gave up two earned runs, struck out five, and, you know, they've used four relievers, Abreu, Rodriguez, Holmes, and now Green to get to where they are here. Freeman's up with one out, nobody on, and 5-3 Yankees. So we'll see if they can hold on here tonight and make it 11 in a row. They have just been killing it. Red Sox are up 9-6 on the Twins in the seventh. Top half of the seventh at Fenway. The Angels are beating the Orioles in a wild game at Camden. 13-8 Angels, bottom seven. Rays lead the Phillies 3-1. Runner on second, two outs, bottom nine. Phillies down to their final out in Philadelphia. White Sox up 5-1 in Toronto, bottom nine. Nobody out, runner on second for the Jays. The Giants are killing the Mets 8-0, top nine at Citi Field. And they have lit them up tonight every which way but loose. And, you know, I mean, honestly, they had to travel from San Francisco on their off day. They get to New York. You'd think the Mets could win a game at the end of this terrible 13-game run they've had with the Giants, Dodgers, now Giants again at home, and they still got their ass beat. I mean, they're finished. Their season's over. So it does not matter the deals they gave Lindor. He came back tonight. Baez, it doesn't matter who they have. Their season ended when DeGrom went down. That's that. We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 204. Mightier 1090 in San Diego, and of course, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, all over the globe. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench on a terrible towel Tuesday. Anyway, Rangers lead the Indians top of the ninth, 4-3 in Cleveland. Nationals lead the Marlins 5-1, top nine in Miami. Tigers lead the Cardinals 4-0 at Busch, top of the eighth. Man, to the Cardinals, they suck too. The Reds still on fire. They are leading the Brewers 3-1, top six in Milwaukee. And the Astros are up 4-0 on the Royals, bottom five. Pirates beat the Diamondbacks 4-2. Mariners today, daylight, beat the A's again 5-1. And when you look at the situation in terms of the wild card in the American League, the Mariners are within a game of the A's, who are a game and a half behind Boston, and it could get worse if Boston checks in with the win. We got a lot going on tonight. Rick Haro on the show. Also, later, Derek Stevens, the owner and CEO of Circa, the Golden Gate, and the D Casinos in Las Vegas. We had him on Coast to Coast today. We'll have him on the bench tonight. It's Pharrell on the bench. Don't miss it. Go with us.
There's listening to Sports Grid, then there's listening to Sports Grid. You know you're doing it right when friends ask you about the week's matchups, the wife is happy, and your teenager regards you with quiet awe.
Here's your slippers, Dad.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
I throw on a bench. I was watching the game, as I said earlier, and one of the things that struck me is honestly how absolutely terrible that the umps are, and even worse than the umps is the replay system that they use in Major League Baseball. I mean, to tell you, if you watch that game tonight, there is no one on the face of the earth that could see the play on Freddie Freeman at the plate in the bottom of the fifth inning, where he came around on a hit to left center and had the green light and rounded the bases. And here he comes barreling toward home plate. And the throw was at the same time, right? And I mean, that guy was so safe, it wasn't even funny. To the point where, literally, even Michael Kay, Paul O'Neill, and Marakovich, the chick, they all said he was safe. I watched it. I was like, he was safe when I saw it live. When I saw it, Memorex, just kidding. When I saw it on replay, it was even more obvious that he was safe. And then they go to replay, and it takes 5 minutes, and they come back and say that he's out. Now, I mean, you got to be Pharrell and kidding me. If you saw this play and you thought that dude was out, you are absolutely smoking way better weed than everybody else, because that dude was safe. He slid in with his leg and his foot and his entire shin and calf slid across the plate before he was tagged. And he was tagged on his hip, like under his belt, and he had already crossed home plate like for 3 seconds. It was the worst call I've seen in baseball in months. And then the replay can't even get it right. Like, what is the point of having replay if you can't get it right? There is no way, no how, no one anywhere that could see that play, even in utter turtle paced replay. If you had it in a tortoise speed, you could see that Freddie Freeman was safe. I mean, there's not a doubt on the face of the earth that he was safe. And they called him out. The home plate umpire called him out. He was completely whacked. And then the replay took 5 minutes, and the guy said he was out. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, get rid of it. Just get rid of replay, because it sucks worse than the umps. I mean, at least with the umps for the last 100 years, we just live with it. They're crappy calls. We already know how sensitive they are. There are no softer referees in sports than Major League Baseball umpires. They are so pathetic and candy ass. You can't even look at them. You get tossed. You question one of their balls and strikes, you're tossed immediately. You argue with them, you're tossed. You cuss at them, you're tossed, and your mother, she's tossed too. You can't even question any of their calls anymore because they're so sensitive and bent out of shape about anyone questioning their brilliance. Meanwhile, they're ass trash, terrible hack umps to begin with. They can't get the call right to save their ass. And then you question it, they toss your ass out of the game. I mean, it's never been worse. It's never been worse. I got to tell you, back in the day, you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s, 90s, 2000s even, whatever, whenever they went to replay, I don't get it. You know, people always say, well, the replay will get it right, and that'll be the end of it. And then we'll know because we're going to watch it in HD, and as long as they got replay, they'll get it right every time because you'll get to see it in 50 different angles, and they'll slow it down, and they'll get it right. Meanwhile, they still get it wrong all the effing time. Now, here's the deal. When you can say, is he giving stories about wearing snowshoes and walking to school in blizzards? No, I'm telling you like it is. When I went to games in the 70s, 80s, let's just stick to those two decades. Fair enough. And they didn't have replay in the 90s either. So you can take it there if you want. Bottom line is, the umps made the call, and that was it. And I'll tell you another thing. Back in the day, like when Billy Martin was arguing and Earl Weaver was arguing and Whitey Herzog was arguing and Tommy Lasorda was arguing with umps, they understood that it was entertainment and it was a show and that some people like to get their money's worth when they argue with the ump. They might get tossed, but they give them some time to, frankly, build up the ejection. Right? They would let them argue, and they'd start arguing, and they'd get crazy and crazy and crazy, and they'd be in each other's faces. And then finally, they'd toss them. Have you ever noticed? It's real simple. Nowadays, in 2021, literally within 5 seconds of questioning an ump, you're tossed. You're done. You're out. The night's over. Good night. Go downstairs. You're done. You're going under the dugout. I mean, honestly, it is so embarrassing and laughable. You can't argue with them. You can't question anything. Ball strikes, outs, plays at bags, at the plate, wherever. Check swings. I mean, if the dugout starts up on the ump on balls and strikes, I mean, they'll just start throwing people out in droves. The second bad call in that game just happened in the eighth. When Riley was tagged out at second, I mean, sure as Shaq, he was safe. And they showed the replay. The exact same thing happened. They called him out again. They called him out at the bag. They called him out on the replay. And it was painfully obvious. I mean, you could smoke 5-foot graphics for an hour, bong rips, and still get it right at home. Some fat guy on the sofa with a bag of Doritos and a big old fat bong. And he would still get the call right, watching on television. And you see the replay 15 times on television. And every single time, it's more obvious than the last that the guy was safe. Riley was safe. That's it. Safe. Not even a question. And I'm a Yankee fan. Like, I'm telling you, Freeman and Riley were safe. Both calls were so bad. The replay was even worse than the call. I mean, in real time speed, I could see the umpire thought that he was out at the plate, Freeman, and that Riley was out at second in real time. Fair enough. But when they go to that stupid replay system in New York and those idiots can't get it right, I mean, you got to be a stupid ass. Honestly, like, how stupid do you have to be to not be able to see when you look at it 15 times over 5 minutes that a guy is safe both times and you call him out both times? It's just, there's nothing conclusive enough to change the call in the field. My effing ass. If you know for a fact that the call is wrong, just reverse it. If not, why even have the system in place to begin with? It is laughable. It's embarrassing. I can't even take it. Like, it is so unbelievable to me watching them, the replay system, just crumble. It's so bad. It's disgusting. They got their ass beat. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
On the bench, Rick Haro is our sports business and legal insider on Sports Grid, on Coast to Coast, and Pharrell on the Bench from Harvard. Here he is, Mr. Haro, down in South FLA with all of that gorgeous. All right, let me start with this tonight. We got a lot to do. I want to ask you this question, first of all. I've been going on here for a few minutes about the umpires in baseball. In that I don't know if you're watching the Yankee game. You're probably not. You're probably watching maybe the Dodgers Padre game that just came on, or, because you're, I don't think there's anything else on. Are you watching the Marlins? What are you watching right now?
I watched a ridiculous movie called Midnight in Switchgrass about a serial killer that beheaded his targets. So that and the Cubs over the last 2 weeks were the scariest thing I've seen.
I believe that. All right, so here's what I saw. So, and you can elaborate on this from any angle. It does not have to be that you didn't see the plays. I'm just going to, from the standpoint of the business in hand here, this is about umpires and replay systems. So I'm watching this game, and Freddie Freeman got called out at the plate, on a play at the plate. And I mean to tell you, this guy was so safe that he literally, his entire leg, his foot, calf, shin, his entire leg hit the plate before the Yankee catcher tagged him. And they called him out. And I said, I even acknowledged that in real-time speed, I could see where the ump would call him out, thinking that the guy tagged him up by his onions when he tagged him. But the fact is that he was way late in the tag. He did tag him, but not until the guy's entire leg had crossed the plate. Freeman was irate. The crowd was irate. And then Michael Kay, Paul O'Neill, and Meredith Marakovich, all of them said he was safe. I watched it in real time and thought he was safe. And then when I saw the replay, I mean to tell you, in the slowest tortoise possible, as like a tortoise out of, like, literally a turtle at the zoo. It was so slow, the replay. And it was so obvious that he was safe. It was beyond ridiculous when 5 minutes later after replay, they called him out. And I'm just sitting there saying on the show tonight, what is the point of having replay if they can't get it Pharrell and Wright? I mean, and then when Kay and O'Neill were like, You got to be kidding me that guy's out. And they're calling it against the Yankees. The call was for the Yankees, but the guy was safe, and they called him out, and replay called him out. Then Riley got called out at second in the bottom of the eighth, and the tag, he was safe. The guy's foot, his foot was on the bag. He was on the bag for like at least 2 seconds before he got tagged, and they called him out. And then the replay called him out, and they were like, I mean, somebody is drunk or stoned in New York reviewing these plays. And I said, Rick, that back in the day in the 70s and 80s, and you got to go there with me, is that when umpires made the wrong call, it was what it was. And you just live with it. Game over, whatever. Get in your car, go home. You could argue with the ump for 5 minutes, then he'd throw you out. Nowadays, you even look at him wrong and you're tossed. You say one word to him, you're tossed. You cuss at him, you're tossed. If you even question them ever on balls and strikes, you're tossed. There is something wrong with baseball's umpiring and replay system, without a doubt to me.
So, well, before I even comment on it, because I did not see the play, where were the challenges? Were both teams out of challenges?
I do not know. They challenged both times. They went to replay because the calls were so close. So either because they were both called against the Braves. And so
they blew the replay even. I get it. So
they blew both replays.
Yeah, I don't get it. So the guy in New York was probably drunk. You know, listen, if you're going to ask me about early ejections, you feel like you're entitled now, and maybe umpires need to pick a fight quicker. But I've noticed it, too. The triggers are certainly quicker if you look back at an umpire on strike three. They can toss you. That goes way beyond the game. You shouldn't allow an umpire to control a game that much, especially when throwing a batter out is bad, but you got eight other guys. Throwing a pitcher out, no matter what the circumstances, it better be pretty egregious. And a lot of the times I'm seeing it's not. I totally agree with you. The umpires need a little bit of anger management training too, like everybody else does.
Listen, back in the day, I said that Billy Martin, Whitey Herzog, Earl Weaver, and Tommy Lasorda, all of them would have got their money's worth. There would have been none of this 5 seconds, you're thrown out and it's over. I mean, nowadays, they get thrown out in 5 seconds. Then they argue with them for another 3 minutes, and then they leave. But back in the day, that same argument as today would have taken 10 to 15 minutes. They would have been out there.
And I love that day. And it's not, and today the third base coach comes over to shield the manager a little bit. But it's like, all right, let him go, because it's not even funny the way umpires will quick trigger it. And, who knows if they're right. But, how about the dusting home plate with your shoe? How about picking the base up and throwing it out toward right field, although that's players, not necessarily managers? The old good stuff, we don't see that anymore.
I have to tell you, I think it's, I know they'll never get rid of it now that they have it, replay.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I got to tell you, I actually, and I mean it, I think baseball was better without it.
Well, listen, replay puts pressure on you because if you're going to have replay and you have that whole system and you're going to try to figure it out, you better damn get every play right. And there better be no question after the replay. And if you say that you got two plays where people are questioning it in the same game, something's wrong.
So let me ask you this story. Did you I don't know how much you followed it or whatever down there in Miami, but I couldn't even believe the story of the kid Pata that got murdered. From a few years ago, one of his own teammates did it to him. That one of the Canes, Rashawn Jones, whatever his name is. Can you imagine that all these years later, they nailed his teammate for murdering him? Because I guess, I don't know the exact details of it, but I know that, he was over there because his girlfriend lived there. And this guy that killed him was his girlfriend lived there. And then he ends up killing Pata. Can you imagine that that story broke down there, late last week or whatever it was, that it happened inside their own, one of their own, in their own family did it? Like, can you imagine that a Kane player was the one that killed him?
Well, I can imagine, no. But I can also not imagine how long it's been, and not just because it's football players, but usually cold cases, you know, 5 years, 10 years, it's been a long time. And so capital murder, it doesn't really matter. There's no statute of limitations. If he did it, he's going down. Doesn't matter whether it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But the fact that there's a whole generation of football players at the University of Miami that don't even remember that, and now they've probably, sounds like they've solved the murder.
Well, it happened so long ago. It was 2006. Can you believe
I mean, 15 years. That's a long time,
I mean, what the hell happened where they actually took that long to figure it out? Like, that it was cold, and then they finally caught the guy, and then it was one of his own teammates. That's crazy to me. Now they start up with Alabama coming up here in a couple weeks, right? And they're playing that game at the Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Do you think De'Aaron King can do anything against Alabama?
Man, I don't know. You know, you look at the Hurricane schedule, right? You and I both do that all the time as soon as it comes out. And I guess, who knows if we caught a break or not, but remember, Clemson's not on the schedule this year, so North Carolina is. That's probably the hardest game they've got. Notre Dame is not. And so they looked home free until you realize they start against Alabama. Although I will say this, between Derek King's deal and the University of Miami's deal with that gym that nobody's ever going to use with NIL, and then, you know, Young on the Alabama side, it is the quarterback NIL bowl. You got two of the highest earning NIL guys playing against each other on September 4.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm a little just kind of, I'm not really high on the whole, because I don't really care that they're paying, you know, college athletes now, football, basketball, whatever, teams, players. I don't really care. But I got to be honest with you. It does. I don't care one way or the other. So have at it. Have your money. But I don't really. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I just, for some reason, and we got a break, so we'll come back and talk more about it. I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about the alliance today with the ACC, Pac-12, and Big Ten, and what you think of that, and what that business is going to be like for those three conferences now sleeping together. It's Ferrell and a Bench.
Every day, sports happens.
It never stops.
And neither do we. Get the expert perspectives you need, strategies and vital information you won't get anywhere else. You're listening to the home of the Winning Edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So we're talking to Rick Haro. Wanted to mention the Yankees' 10-game winning streak. Chapman on the mound, 2-on, 2-out, 3-2 count to Albies. Yankees up 5-3, bottom 9. And he got him swinging. Oh, they're going to say foul tip. He didn't even hit that. That was in the dirt. That was in the dirt. He swung and missed at that. Here we go with another bad call in the Yankee game. They're questioning it right now. I mean, this umpiring crew in this game tonight is absolute trash. I mean, how is this a foul ball? He missed this ball. I mean, that ball was, he just absolutely swung and missed at that ball, and it bounced off the ground. That's not a foul ball. That's a terrible call. Full count. Now watch the guy hit a 3-run homer to win the game. Walk off. That was a strike 3 right there. He swung and missed at it, and they called it a foul ball. The ump thought it was fouled off, but it bounced in, as usual with Chapman lately, the way he's been closing. He's been all over the place lately. Last week, I saw him miss the catcher entirely, threw him off the backstop 100 miles an hour. He's like, it's like Bull Durham or something I'm watching over here. Here we go. Let's see if he gets him. By the way, the longest winning streak they've had is 11 games in 1985. They've had four 10-gamers in the last 16 years. Now a grounder, they're going to get out of it. Yankees win their 11th in a row. They call him saving first. Play at the plate now. And now they've loaded the bases. Of course, he struck out. He did not foul it off. It was in the dirt. Now he's at first, and the bases are loaded with two outs. And now, all of a sudden, Boone's mad. But that was just I thought he was safe at first. But I thought he struck out on the pitch in the dirt without a doubt. This one, I think he was just flat out safe at first. The Yankees are questioning that now. All right, Rick, here's my point about NIL. I think, tell me if I'm wrong. All right, so what I have a problem with is that they can make unlimited amount of money on name, image, likeness, like signing autographs, pictures, use my name in a endorsement, whatever, and they'll get paid. Good for them. Congratulations. But I think that what they should have done personally is that I think the schools that have athletic programs should have just given, bottom line, if they're employees, because that's basically what they're saying now that they are, if they can be paid, if they can make money, now you're essentially an employee, or you know, you could be in a union. Bottom line is, I think the school should have just paid the athletes, every one of them, girls and guys, just a stipend of, you know, a nice piece every month or whatever to survive in school and to be able to do the things we always hear about. They couldn't go out for pizza. They can't go out on a date with their girlfriend. They can't eat. They can't do their laundry. They can't do anything because they make no money. And if they do, they get in trouble, or this athletic department gets in trouble. Now they're letting them make whatever they want. They can make all kinds of money. There's something wrong with that, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I have a lot of things to say about that. First, ironically, the University of Miami may have led the way on that. Do you remember, I'm kind of kidding about this gym paying $500,000 to the University of Miami Athletic Department for kids who will probably never use it, but they said, we're going to pay 90 of our football players, all of our players on our team, $500 a piece. They can do whatever they right. want with it. So right. that's similar to what you're talking about. Now, every school could have done that and then distributed money from corporations on behalf of all of the athletes to not only the football program, but basketball, you know, swimming, golf, tennis, D1, D2, D3, men's, women's. Right. That's part of the issue. And if you let King and Young and God knows which basketball players we deal with come October, November, we're going to see a whole lot of very unhappy supporting cast players and a few rich players. So that's number one. Number two. Number three is I'm interviewing the head of the New York State Athletic Association on Thursday for some of my stuff for Sports Grid, and Robert Zayas. He's a good guy. He's outspoken on this stuff. You know, what he's most concerned about is the eighth grader who gets tapped on the shoulder and says, hey, you know, if you want to look the other way, I'm going to get you into a good high school and pay you some money. And the high school kids, they're going to be getting NIL. So it doesn't stop at the colleges.
I just, you know, I think they've opened up a whole can of worms on this. I couldn't agree with you more about the haves and have-nots. There's going to be kids that get nothing at all, and then they're going to see some kid like the quarterback or the star basketball player making all kinds of money. And I'm here to tell you, when they get to the point of college basketball, right, and all these really good teams, yeah. whatever, blue blood, and
right.
all the best teams in the country, let's say the top 10 teams in the country, I mean, there is going to be money pouring in for these basketball players and these kids that are being recruited now. Indiana got the big combo guard today, 6'5". He picked Indiana and Mike Woodson over Tennessee. When are they going to start paying him cash? Because he obviously is going to Indiana. Don't tell me somebody's not going to pay him money. I think they're going to get recruits now with money, which is the epitome of illegal recruiting, if you ask me. I think now, because, you know, they said Zion Williamson, they paid his family's bills and got their family a condo and all kinds of money for him to go to Duke, and then they deny it all, but we know it happened. So What do you think they're going to do now with every kid that goes? They're going to pay them to go to school.
Well, and listen to this. And here's the other thing that we're going to see on basketball and in football a little bit. Everybody dumps on the boosters, right? Because they say boosters, there's something dirty about it. Well, how do the boosters make their money? They own and run successful businesses. So, you know, if I'm a booster and I see NIL, I'll just pay the athletes to endorse my business. And that's legal. Not only is it legal, but it's encouraged. So we're going to see a lot of that. We're going to see a lot of boosters coming out with a lot of dollars. And at the end of the day, if you want the athlete to earn dollars because he's a student athlete, and he's a student, but he's also bringing money to the university, great. But you got to worry about the recruiting. You got to worry about the distribution of the dollars. You got to worry about men's and women's sports. You got to worry about the eighth grader. And the NCAA, when Emmert talked about this a year and a half ago, he said, all right, we're going to do it, and the devil's in the details, and we have a year and a half to figure it out, so let's figure it out. Well, it was a year and a half, and July 1, basically it was, we haven't figured it out. You guys do what you want.
So let me ask you what you think of the alliance now between the Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC. I said today on Coast to Coast, I think they're going to be way ahead of the curve when it comes to, by the time Oklahoma and Texas are in the SEC, I think the new alliance will have lapped the field a couple times in the next several years before 25, and that move transitions into place. I think the immediacy of what they're doing in the Pac-12 and everything else right now with the ACC and Big Ten is going to be advantageous to them as an alliance. And I actually think I'm going to go through it at the after you're on and at the top of the hour. The amount of unbelievable and just kick-ass matchups and games and rivalries that will start between these three conferences, the amount of games, I mean, they're so delicious, Rick, that they could literally, these could be the NCAA basketball tournament or college football bowl system or playoff or whatever you want. The matchup probabilities and possibilities are so beautiful that I think, I'm going to just say it right now, the SEC can't even live up to it.
Yeah, and I think this, too. When you look at the statements of all the commissioners, Kevin Warren, friend, ran the Vikings and now the Big 12, Big 10, and on, the only statement that caught my eye was 68 committed games among the alliance group in football between now and 2035. Now, that's a long time from now, but that's a lot of marquee matchups that you were just talking about. And so it is ironic also that you have basically two champions. You have the SEC champion and whatever emerges out of this super alliance. At the same time, you got the potential for 12 college football playoff spots. So at the same time, you got more playoff spots, you got less champions.
So what did you think of, I know in your sports 5-5 with Tech, I just thought the best story was Giannis buying a piece of the Brewers.
Yeah, I think that's great. He is amazing because, listen, it's a little like Mahomes in Kansas City, but it's different because Giannis did more for the civic pride of Milwaukee by re-upping with a small market NBA team and taking them to the title and validating the team and city as a legitimate NBA stop that he's never going to have to buy anything in Milwaukee for the rest of his life. But now, I hope he's a baseball fan. All he has to do is wear the Brewer uniform, I know. But the bottom line is the guy is flexing his muscles as the citizen of Milwaukee. And God bless the guy. It's a wonderful thing, even though his name is very difficult to spell.
How about this girl that played in the Little League World Series? Good for her.
Yeah, well, and, you know, she had a number of hits. She scores the runs. And it is great because you really do have, at that age group, you have some superstar girls who are better than the boys. And you know, it's a great story. It's perseverance. And you need something like that for the Little League World Series these days, especially with no fans and COVID still here.
Ella Bruning is her name. She plays for Abilene, Texas, and they're, I think, still in it. So what is the PGA Tour doing with this new augmented reality app developed by Quintar?
Yeah, well, they're trying to figure out exactly the distances and all of the things that are really important, not just for betting, but the idea is that they're going to deal with not only Liberty National, the Northern Trust, now Caves itself, AR screenshots to social media, challenging users to try the par 3 player picks game. They earn points based on how the chosen golfer fares in the hole. It's 3D model. You bet on it clearly, and then you deal with performance. I personally would rather play that game than get out there on the course with you, although you do hit 5 irons every decade or so, 210 yards.
It's true. Actually, that's a 4-iron. I hit 210 yards.
You are listening to me. You're listening to me today. Well, what is with you?
And I can hit the 2-iron, 235. So you've seen it. So
good,
let's get real here.
Good for you.
Freddie Freeman now with the bases loaded, 1-1 count, 2 outs, bottom 9. The star player of the Braves taking on Peralta. They yanked Chapman out of the game because he can't close the door anymore at all for the Yankees. So that's crazy. We're going to get a bet here from Rick Haro. Does Freeman, and I have 20 seconds, does Freeman get the game-winning hit here or not? Yes or no?
Yes, he does, but it's got to happen in the next 12 seconds because I'm gone, right? Have a good week, and I'll see you next week. And if I do win, you better send it to me quick. I'll take it in dollars.
Yeah, I think Peralta, it's 2-1 now. He'll probably end up walking in the tying run. It's Pharrell on a bench. Craziness here in Atlanta in the bottom of the ninth. With people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
So Peralta got Freeman to fly out to the warning track and left with the bases loaded to close the deal. And the Yankees have won 11 in a row for the first time since 1985. So that was a hairy ninth inning. And to face their best player with the bases loaded, they had to pull Chapman out because he can't get it done. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Every time he pitches now, he gets in all kinds of trouble. And they had to go to Peralta to do the job. And he was, I think at one point, I think he was 3-1, 3-2, and then he got him. But Freeman fouled off at least 5 pitches or something like that. And he was throwing changeups and sinkers. He almost got him on the second to last pitch on a sinker. And Freeman barely got a piece of it, fouling it off behind him. And then on the next pitch, he got him. I think it was another changeup. And he got him to hit a deep drive to left. But Gallo was there, and that was it. And the Yankees run it to 11. And now I believe that they're off until Thursday. I'm pretty sure, because I just want to look at it, because they win the game. And then in terms of tomorrow, yeah, they're off. They're going out to Oakland to start a 4-game series with the A's, who keep losing to Seattle. Their lead over Seattle now is down to a game for that wild card that they're chasing Boston on. But Seattle's right in their arse. It's Pharrell on a bench.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.